This is Cradle My Heart Radio with your host, Kim Cotola. Cradle My Heart Radio, preventing abortion and helping those it hurts.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken within, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
And now, Kim Cotola and Cradle My Heart Radio.
Welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio. We are so pleased that you are able to give us some time out of your busy week. I know that it's busy for all of us. There is so much that's going on, and there's so much that's demanding our attention. And sometimes this issue of preventing abortion and helping those that it hurts, our mission here at Cradle My Heart Radio, can really feel burdensome. It can feel as though it's just too much for us. And we can feel as though there's not anything that we can do as individuals to impact what's happening in the culture around us. Well, I want you, with this conversation we're going to present, to be encouraged. I want you to feel as though, yes, everything that's happening in your life absolutely makes a difference. And one life can make so many ripples and cause so much good that you'll just be encouraged to carry on, because I want to introduce you to somebody really special tonight. Corey Peterson is a wife, a homeschooling mom of two young heroes in training, as she puts it, and she was once a Disneyland dancer, but now she's dancing upon injustice and working for truth in whatever sphere of influence the Lord puts her in, including being Area Director for Concerned Women for America of Southern California. Corey, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you.
You know, you're in the deep end of the pool working on public policy, and I think that that is something I really admire, because we know in our hearts that we should be part of the process, but wow, it's really hard for us to plug ourselves in. I think sometimes, especially as women, I don't want to be pejorative there, but I think that it's easy for us to become discouraged. If we just look around at the culture that we're in, it's so clear that America has become, I think, a post-Christian nation. And in California in particular, some of the policy, some of the politics that are happening there can really be a cause for dismay. And as you're carrying on, as you're working that policy process, tell me how you feed your spirit and keep your hopes high in the midst of decisions like this that are ungodly, that don't make sense, that, you know, that are counter to the cause for life.
Yeah, it does get it does seem very defeating here in California, because we are just such a pro-death state. You know, we're dealing with the assisted suicide being jammed through recently, too. So it is discouraging at times. But I think for me, and this is how I encourage our members, too, and just other like-minded Californians, is, you know, in the scripture where it says, do not grow weary in doing good. And then Beverly LaHaye is known to have said, God doesn't call us to be successful. He calls us to be faithful. And so that's, I think we just have to be about our Father's business and let the chips fall where they may. We have to be obedient more than we have to be results focused. Now, results would be great. And in some states, they're able to accomplish that. But, you know, we don't know if God will change the route of California. Right now, it's just seeming to just go down, down, down into just such darkness and sadness, really. But we just kind of keep on, and in spite of our defeats. Now, there have been days where, one morning just several months ago, I just sat and cried. I was like, am I wasting my time? But I just think, you know, when God calls us to do something, we just have to obey. And I would rather be centered in the middle of His will and have everything kind of falling down around me, but know that I'm in the center of His will, than to see great success and be too comfortable, if that makes any sense. I just want to be challenged to do the hard things, even when sometimes there doesn't seem to be a light at the end of the tunnel, but to know that those hard things are what God has called me to, and I'm just being obedient and faithful in them.
Corey Peterson is our guest. She's a homeschool mom. She's a former Disneyland dancer, and she's the one of the area directors for Concerned Women for America. And Corey, you very boldly on your blog, where you write about being a mom and being a homeschool mom and providing incredible resources, including voter guides and so on. You also have a tab for My Abortion Story and just putting it out there. And I want to give you the opportunity to share that with us. First of all, by setting the stage just a little bit as to, you know, what was really driving that decision for you when you made that choice. And again, you know, if you're listening tonight, part of our purpose here is to prevent abortion. And one of the primary ways God has shown me that we may do that is by sharing the truth of what happened when we chose it, my story and the stories you hear every week. And so, Corey, talk about maybe your motivation or what the background was before you made that decision.
Well, I didn't really grow up in a Christian home. I mean, except that we were Christians because we were Americans. You know what I mean? We ate hamburgers.
Sure.
And so we must have been Christians. And so, you know, we just kind of defaulted. If someone asked me my religion, I would have said I'm Christian. But we never really attended church. I was never in the Word. I didn't have a relationship with the Lord at all. And then in high school, I got involved in youth groups and whatever, but, there wasn't any depth to my relationship with the Lord, and I'm not even really sure that I was truly saved. But anyway, right out of high school, I got involved with a guy, and then I got pregnant, and I knew that abortion was wrong. Whether it was just subconsciously I knew that, or just common sense, or I heard it at church, or what, I'm not really sure, but I knew it was wrong. And so anyway, after a lot of coercion and stuff from my boyfriend, I finally just got to the point with him where I just said, okay, just do whatever you want. And so he kind of set everything up. Now, that said, I am in control of me. So at any moment, I could have said, I am not doing this. But you know, there were some things personally that I was dealing with. One, I identified as a Christian. Everybody knew I was a Christian, so there was some embarrassment on my reputation, over my reputation there. So there was that, you know, my pride. And then, you know, I just feel like the decision behind abortion so often is about selfishness and pride, and, or selfishness or pride. And so anyway, he really pushed and pushed and pushed. And I just wanted to make him happy, because I was so devastated by the whole situation that, all I wanted was him. And so, so whatever he wanted to do, I just got to a point where I said, whatever you want to do, that's what I'll do. So he went ahead and made the appointment. And so I was about 7 weeks along when I had a Planned Parenthood abortion back in February 1994.
And so as you think about that experience, and how old were you at the time, Corey?
It was a month before my 21st birthday.
Mm-hmm. Very similar to me. And I think this is something that people don't really understand, that abortion is primarily a problem for young women in the launch phase, in our early 20s. Most women who have abortions are single in their early 20s. Most, yes, like Corey and like me, would say, yep, I'm a Christian, if you asked me my religion or what my faith was. And I don't know about you, Corey, but I was acting responsibly, quote unquote, using birth control, which failed. I don't know if that's part of your story as well. But, you know, someone has said that abortion won't end until the middle class decides that we don't need it for our daughters, because reputation was a huge driving force in my decision as well. So let's talk about the experience itself and how that went for you at Planned Parenthood. I mean, you're in a unique position to take us inside, much as the undercover videos did over the summer and early fall this year. And, of course, some of the videos are still being released as we speak. But you're in this position to take us inside and tell us what that experience was for you.
Okay. Well, I went. I was the first appointment in the morning on a Friday. And my boyfriend took me to the Planned Parenthood clinic, and I sat down. And there were just a couple of other people in the waiting room, and they took me back, and I had to fill out two or three pages of just risks, you know, whatever they were. I don't remember, but I do remember one of them being, you know, you could die. And so, you know, and I had to initial all of those. I remember having the blood test, whatever. And then they took me into, and one thing I remember the lady saying, because I must have looked nervous, and I imagine most women are, when they go in, the lady looked at me, she said, you know, don't worry. Women come in and do this on their lunch breaks all the time. And I remember thinking, wow, you know, and I don't know why she would say that except maybe to diminish the reality of what abortion is and does. But then they took me to a room and I waited there. And at one point, I felt like I was waiting there forever. And one point someone came in and said, you know, someone would like to go ahead of you. Do you mind waiting? And I just was in a place where I just wanted to be as accommodating as possible. And so, whatever. And so then they came in and did the abortion. I just remember being really cold. I remember a doctor, whoever she was, coming in. She didn't really speak to me at all. I don't believe she said anything to me. There was one woman there who talked to me. I was awake for the whole procedure. So she was there, obviously, to just help me get through it. And so I remember the machine being turned on. I remember the cramping and the pain. I remember the doctor just, you know, reaching and she's about 7 weeks, you know, talking about almost like I wasn't even there. And then when it was all over, everybody left the room, left me by myself on the table. And I didn't even know where to go. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know, was there a recovery room? Was there anything? And so eventually when I could get up and get dressed, I went ahead and went out and found the recovery room just, you know, within eyeshot of the door of the room I was in. I was the only one in there. I laid there for a while until I was lightheaded and not feeling well. And I laid there for a while until I had enough strength to stand and get dressed and everything else. And so then I just kind of went out into, I just went out the door and was just kind of wandering because I didn't know where to go. And this guy walks down the hallway and he says, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I don't know. I just want to leave." And he says, I don't even know what he said, quite honestly. I just don't remember. But I do remember being taken to a room toward the back of the clinic, and my boyfriend was brought in. And I could see through the window the lobby where I had first come in. So they were taking me out a back door, and they handed me a bag that had, I'm assuming it had birth control pills and stuff like that in it. And so I just wanted it to be over. You know, it was so awful. And so anything that they gave me, I just threw away and then went my way. And I think the experience just, before I had the abortion, everybody was really attentive. When I first went in for my pregnancy test, they were really kind to me and everything. And then when I got on the table, they were fairly attentive, except for, you know, kind of pushing me aside so others could go before me and stuff. And then the girl talking to me was real friendly and just trying to help me. But then the minute it was over, I was totally alone. I mean, not even with instructions of where to go. And I'm not feeling good. I mean, I could hardly stand up. And I think that was so amazing to me. The incredible attention I was given. And then the second the abortion was over, I was totally dropped completely. You know, I mean, I had to wander my own way through the facility. And so that to me was, it just paints a big picture of what, I don't know if every abortion facility is like that, but what Planned Parenthood was about. You know, they wanted their money. They wanted to do the job, and then whatever. I mean, after that, I didn't matter. And, you know, my boyfriend took me home and to his house and stuff. And we were together about 2 more weeks, and our relationship just plummeted. It was terrible. And the day of my checkup appointment 2 weeks later, I begged him to take me, and he did not want to take me. And I just cried and begged. I mean, I was just totally pathetic. And so he took me very begrudgingly. And then after my appointment, he brought me home, and he broke up with me. And it just, you know, whatever devastation and worthlessness I was feeling from the abortion was just magnified by the rejection of my boyfriend, and so it just really, you know, crumbled me to the ground, literally. I mean, I was on the ground holding on this paneling, just begging him not to leave me, but he left, and that was that. That was that. It was just a total devastation. I've never felt so rejected and horrible in my life.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I appreciate you opening your heart to share that with us, because I'm sure it's still difficult. And what I really want people to hear, because there are aspects of your story that are different from mine, but some that are very similar, you know, men get told you shouldn't have an opinion about abortion because you'll never get pregnant. But in your case and in mine, so many women, as well as the two of us, Corey, complied with the wishes of a man hoping to preserve a relationship, and the decision was all his. Now, as you said, I bear the responsibility for having been passive and ceded my decision-making in it, but I think people need to understand the dynamic that goes on in the mind of a 20-year-old woman, a 21, a 23-year-old woman who is vulnerable and decides to do this to please a man who is making the decision for her. Corey, I really want to give you the opportunity to talk about the after, because that's where God's glory comes in. That's where the hope, that's where the joy, the newness of life is found. How did it turn around for you? When did your healing begin, and how did you find peace?
Well, that day when my boyfriend broke up with me, I was just, I mean, I can't even... I was hysterical, and I went many places. I got in my car. I was crying and so upset, chasing him for a while, you know. And I ended up at my mother's. My mom worked for a doctor, and so I went to her office and just needed to see my mom and just cried to her. And you know, she tried her best to comfort me, but there just wasn't much she could do for me at that point. And then I went home, and I had one friend I had told, one friend, and so I called her on the phone. And her mother answered the phone, and I said, is your daughter there? And she said, no, she's not. Are you okay? And I said, no. And I told her, I just spilled everything. My boyfriend broke up with me. She said, oh, there, you know, I'm so sorry. I said, and I had an abortion. And she just said, whoa. And as it turned out, this woman was a pastor's wife, and I just spilled my guts to her. And she said, Corey, I am just going to pray for you right now. And I said, okay. And so she prayed for me. And when she prayed for me, I just, you know, I was at a place where I didn't want to get up in the morning. I wasn't really suicidal, but I would go to bed thinking, if I don't wake up in the morning, it'd be okay, you know. And I just was in a terrible state and just had this crazy weight, heaviness, and guilt and yuck on me. And when she said, can I pray for you? And then she started praying. I just can't even explain it except for Jesus said that I will give you the peace that surpasses all understanding. But as she prayed for me, every weight that was on me, everything was just totally lifted. And I just remember feeling like, okay, I don't even know how, but everything is going to be totally fine. And I remember thinking that to myself. Everything's going to be fine, and there's no reason why it should be, because life is a mess right now. But I just have this peace and this, I just can't even explain, that everything is going to be just fine. And I asked her, I said, well, what do I do now? And she said, well, do you have a Bible? And I didn't, but my sister did. I said, no, but my sister does. And she says, I want you to start reading the Psalms. And so I started reading the Psalms, and I dove in. I was cross-referencing. I was all over the place. I was writing down everything. I was highlighting everything. And it just came alive to me. And I called her about 3 days later after I'd gone through all 150 Psalms. And I said, okay, now what? And she goes, okay, why don't you start reading through the Proverbs? So I did. And I called her the next day, and I said, now what? And she said, read the Gospel of John. Okay, and I called her a few days later. I said, now what? And she said, okay, I want you to come over to my house, and we're going to start doing a Bible study together. And it just started building that foundation of God's Word so that I could live a life devoted to Him, but really at the moment, so He could just start healing my broken heart, and He did. And it was really amazing. And just within a few months, the Lord would burden me to start sharing that I had had an abortion. I didn't know anybody who would talk about that, right? And so I would be at church retreats, and I would feel like the Lord was just pushing me, you need to stand up right now and share your story. okay. So I just started doing it at church retreats. I was working at a Bible camp. I stood up one night and just told everybody. And any time the Lord just put it on my heart to share the story, I just started sharing it. And within that time, there was a group. There is a group in Southern California in a town called Chula Vista called Silent Voices, and it's a pregnancy resource center. And my friend who I had called, who had prayed with me on the phone, she told me about them, and she said, you know, they do a recovery, post-abortion recovery healing weekend. I think you should go. And so I signed up for it. I attended it 4 months after my abortion. Praise the Lord, because there were women there that had carried the grief and guilt of their abortion for decades. And I was there just a few months later. The Lord was already doing healing. And I attended this workshop through Silent Voices, this post-abortion counseling, totally founded on God's Word. And the Lord just did even more healing in my heart and my life. And it's just been awesome ever since to walk in that freedom of forgiveness and healing, and to be able to speak freely of my abortion and my healing so that others can be healed. There are just women that, like I said, some of the women came to this weekend that had been dealing with their abortion for decades, and there are some women that carry it through their whole lives, and all I want is to share with them that they can be totally free and new and have life abundant, you know, and they need to know that. And if we don't speak of it, if we don't say it, if we don't tell people this reality in our lives, they'll never know about that. And so that has just been such a burden on my heart ever since. And that was over 20 years ago.
Oh, Corey, it's just a great, great story, and you tell it so beautifully, and we really appreciate you, again, opening your heart to us. And we're just about out of time, but I want to give you the opportunity, because it was a catalyst for you, and I know it can make a difference, if you would lead us in prayer as we close our conversation. And then we'll, of course, include links and ways that folks can learn about your ministry and more about what you're doing to influence public policy through Concerned Women for America. But if you will, please just lead us in a prayer.
Gladly. Thank you. Father, Jesus, thank you so much for Kim's ministry to have a voice that reaches beyond what we can even comprehend, to give hope to people who have been hurt and grieved and so wounded by abortion. And I just pray, Lord, for anyone who is hearing this right now, that you would, you know, so many women have an abortion. 3 out of 5 is a conservative statistic. So many, Lord, we pass by women all the time. I just pray, Father, that you would lead them to newness of life, that they would have that life abundant, that those of us who have gone before and have healed, that you would give us boldness to speak, that you would heal us so much that we can speak, so that people hearing this now, people that have had an abortion, can know that they don't have to carry that guilt and grief around with them anymore. Would you just free them, Lord? Would you put them somewhere? Would you put them in contact with someone that can lead them to freedom and wholeness that comes only through you? All the trauma that we endure in life, Lord, the only healing that we can have of it is through you and your word. And I just thank you so much. I pray that you would continue to enlarge Kim's borders, Father, that she would be able to encourage women and men and grandpas, so many that grieve from abortion, and that you would bring real healing and abundant life to them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Corey Peterson, Southern California Area Director for Concerned Women for America. She's a speaker, blogger, a former dancer, and now homeschooling mom. And we just really appreciate your heart for others who need to know the mercy, peace, and love that we can find in Jesus Christ. Corey, thank you for being such a great example and for sharing your story with us today.
Thank you so much.
And now stay with us. Live on our Faith Radio family, we will be talking about some the top pro-life stories and stories on the life issue in the news this week, and we'll open our phone lines for you, too. Here's the number. Jot it down. 1-800-811-3003 to call us toll-free here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
So glad that you are with us tonight for the live portion of our broadcast. And what a powerful story. And our thanks again to Corey Peterson for sharing her story with us. Our phones are open if you want to respond at 800-811-3003, or follow up, I should say. Maybe share your story. Maybe you've been encouraged and inspired to share. 1-800-811-3003. You know, if you have been healed from an abortion, I would really love to hear your story, because it is such an encouragement to those who haven't been. I know that the very first step of my healing. Well, I need to be careful about this. I mean, I think the first step was understanding Christ's love for me. The second step was understanding the truth of what my conscience had told me going into that abortion, that it was wrong. But the step that was directly related to healing after the truth had dawned in my heart was hearing someone else say, "I had an abortion." It was very freeing to me, and not because it removed a stigma. You know, there's a big campaign right now on many fronts that everyone who has had an abortion ought to go ahead and just tell the story without any shame or anything else attached to it, because it's normal and it's common, and it's something that women shouldn't have to cover up or hide away in shame. That's not necessarily the value, I don't think, of sharing our stories. I mean, I think that I had shared with others, and in fact, I had shared with maybe even professional counselors in the course of pursuing healing from other emotional issues after the death of a family member, or grief that wouldn't seem to lift, or that I didn't know how to cope with. Things, you know, there was a postpartum depression after one of my other children was born. Things that sent me to seek help. And in mentioning, as part of my history, my health history, that I had an abortion, simply saying it to someone and having them say, "I see," it wasn't healing at all. It wasn't healing at all to simply speak it out loud and have somebody acknowledge that they heard me say it. What was healing was for someone to say, "It was so wrong, but God's love is deeper still." That's where the healing began. And so if you've been through that process, would love to hear your story at 1-800-811-3003. Our phones are open tonight, 800-811-3003, here at Cradle My Heart Radio. I'm Kim Cotola. And before we go any further with tonight's broadcast, I have to offer, I'll say a correction, but also an apology. I received a listener mail and won't say anything more about it other than the fact that it was from an anonymous source and there was no way to know who had sent it. And I assumed wrongly that that granted me permission to share some of the information that this listener had sent me. And it was a wrong assumption, and the listener got in touch to let me know that it was a serious infraction, that I had broken trust. And so I deeply apologize for that. That was a mistake to make that assumption. I should not have done so. I should have handled your information with much more care. And I do apologize sincerely if you are listening. I will say that in over 30 years of broadcasting, this is the first time that I have miscalculated along those lines. And it's a serious problem, and I take it very seriously, and I appreciate the chance to learn from that mistake. I hope that you are listening, and I hope that you will accept my apology, though I will understand if you do not. you know, we do have a policy here that when you get in touch with us, you can call the program anonymously at 800-811-3003. When I shared the details of that story that had been sent to me, I was careful not to put any identifying details on the air. And so that will always be the case with us as well. But I will say now that we will emphasize that we will never share anything unless you explicitly say, you have my permission. If there's an ongoing dialogue, you know, perhaps I'll have the opportunity to ask if I may have permission. But if without receiving it explicitly, I will never share or disclose anything, regardless of how anonymous and how general the sharing seems to have been. And I thank you for the chance to restate that and to apologize and to do my best to regain any lost trust as a result of my mistake. 800-811-3003 is our number. Had the opportunity to speak at a post-abortion treatment and healing ministry annual event this last week, and it was such a great event. You know, there are many post-abortion ministries that are attached to pregnancy resource centers, and there are others that are standalone that have a national and international outreach. I think about Healing Hearts and others. But this one is unique to the Atlanta area, and it's been in operation since the mid-1990s, and I think they actually incorporated in 1999, solely for the purpose of healing broken hearts after abortion. And, you know, if we're talking about pro-life work, there are so many things that that encompasses. It can be political work happening at a legislative level, trying to influence policy. It can happen, you know, at the policy level, as we heard from somebody like Corey Peterson, who's doing a great job of educating the public and of advocating for policies and influencing the influencers. Pro-life work also does involve, yes, pregnancy help through the pregnancy help movement with 3,000 centers that are helping, you know, save thousands of lives every year at no cost to the people who benefit from those services, just as an outreach of love, a Christian caring, generally not funded by the church per se, but, you know, standalone ministries that operate locally and must do their own fundraising to exist, etc. That's pro-life as well. But so is post-abortion healing. And one of the reasons why that is so is because over half of the abortions that happen every year are repeat procedures. And so if you can intervene and help someone process what occurred, heal it, and move beyond it, then that's very unlikely that a person will choose abortion again. So post-abortion work is very, very strongly pro-life work. And it's really the Red Cross, I think, of the pro-life movement. It's the triage. It's going and looking for the wounded and making sure that they're not left behind on the battlefield that abortion has become in our culture. And I really want to applaud Marianne McNeil and Jody Duffy and all the leadership at Post-Abortion Treatment and Healing. We've had Jody Duffy on as a guest sharing her story as a Silent No More representative. And also Jessica Slavensky, who's a mental health professional working with PATH, has been on helping answer questions. And we've got to get Jessica back because she did just a fabulous job with some of the listener mail that we had received. But I really salute them and applaud them and hope that, again, you know, if you have had some healing take place, I hope that you will share what has gone on in your life. Maybe you don't have the wherewithal or the relationships or the funding to start a post-abortion ministry, but you can share your story, and that becomes post-abortion ministry, because what you're doing is really sharing truth. You're sharing God's love. You're sharing the fact that it's not the end of the story. That, you know, as I told the people who were gathered there, when we are surrendered to Jesus Christ, He takes our worst mistakes for His greatest glory. And it's just an amazing thing how that happens. And not only with the problem of abortion, but with so many other things in life. Because for so many of us, abortion was just one of many life problems. 1-800-811-3003 if you'd like to share your story, offer a word of encouragement, maybe give a plug to a ministry that has helped you in your local area that you want others to be aware of. 1-800-811-3003 is our number. It's a toll-free call. And as I say, you can always call anonymously. Or if you'd like to send us an email and have your comment put on the air that way, just go to cradlemyheart.org and use the contact form there. And that'll also link you up to our social media pages on Facebook and Twitter and so on. It's the easiest way is to just start at cradlemyheart.org and follow the links instead of giving you all the addresses. One of the things that I shared with the audience at PATH was my story. And it's been a while since we've done that, since we've visited that. And I know people may be curious, and I don't shy away ever from telling my story because what I think it illustrates is just how far Jesus is willing to go to gather someone, to bring him back to themselves, to himself, I should say. And the message that I bring when I talk to post-abortion support groups, when I talk to pregnancy help centers, is that in our pro-choice world, you as a bystander of abortion are the choice. If you've not been personally impacted by abortion, you still have a great deal of influence in whether or not abortion happens in your immediate surroundings. You, one person, can stem the tide of abortion, which is an amazing thing to think about when you consider that there are still a million lives being lost to abortion year in and year out ever since Roe versus Wade was legalized 40-odd years ago. You know, that number fluctuates a little bit each year, plus or minus, but it's about a million every year in the U.S. alone. And every year internationally, 42 million because of our policy being exported worldwide. And yet, every loss of life happens one by one. Every loss, one by one. And you can be the one to help stem that tide. It's just an amazing thing to me, the power of one person. You know, stemming the tide of bullying in schools happens as the bystanders get engaged. And part of the reason for that is because bullying victims are often unattractive or easy targets. They're generally not the popular kids. And so training the bystanders to look beyond that and to value every student for their intrinsic worth shifts that power dynamic so that the bullies are simply outnumbered. Right? And so if you're, again, not personally impacted by abortion, in our pro-choice world, you are the choice. You plus one vulnerable woman equals a majority against abortion. You plus one hurting one person that is hurting after abortion equals a community of caring. You plus one in need equals a community of caring. So I'll share a little bit about my story when we return from the break, but I want to give you a chance to get to your phone and call and join us at 1-800-811-3003. It's 1-800-811-3003. Please join the conversation tonight here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
Thanks so much for being with us tonight. We really appreciate it. And if you want to join our conversation, we're here for you at 1-800-811-3003. 1-800-811-3003. And I'm excited that Faith Radio has a new app. And so you can sign up for that, for the alerts. You can like the Facebook page and learn all about downloading the Faith Radio app on Facebook, on their Facebook page. And it's wonderful because then you can take Faith Radio wherever you go. And I appreciate that. And there are links, of course, to our podcasts and so much great content. So that's a great way to keep yourself connected on the go. So I promised you that I would share a little bit of my story for those of you who have not heard it. And part of the reason why I wrote Cradle My Heart, Finding God's Love After Abortion, was to be able to put the story in a context, not just my story, but we tell the story in the book of dozens of other people whose circumstances were very different from mine in many cases. But to be able to show you that abortion is not an unforgivable sin, that part of the story is what I really hope that you will take if you have been bound by feeling as though you can never recover from it because it cannot be undone. So I was 23 years old and just 3 months into my dream job. I was working in a music station. That was what I wanted to do in Minneapolis and St. Paul. And I was engaged, but when he found out that I was pregnant, my fiancé rejected that pregnancy as well as the idea of marriage, which surprised me. I mean, we didn't have a date. I didn't have a ring, but we were serious. And I imagined that he would just say, well, let's get married. But he didn't. He said something very different. And, you know, I was so immature and very insecure emotionally at the time. And I lacked support. I didn't have family members living in the area. And I just didn't think about whether it was right or wrong. I thought only of myself. And when I hear people, you know, talking about the abortion debate and talking about the needs of women, I get it because I was there. But there is another person involved, and I didn't understand that at the time. So I didn't understand that it was wrong. I asked, is it a baby? And the people at the abortion facility told me, no, not yet, not at this time. And I asked some people who I, you know, was talking with about the decision, and they said, no, it was just tissue. And that played a huge role in the decision. And I think that deception of that kind makes it very difficult to come to grips with it afterwards, once you realize that it was wrong and that you had been misled or been given wrong information. All I knew at the time was that I felt the pregnancy threatened my reputation and my economic future. And I knew in my heart that our relationship was over because I felt betrayed by him. I wanted to put it all behind me. And I just wanted to get it over with. You know, it was problem solving. And it was such a long time ago that there was no such thing as an honorable woman who would have been a single mother. I don't know that I could have had the courage of heart to make that decision, because that is a courageous decision that women make when they make it. But it seemed impossible for me. And as I talk about these feelings, and the fact that abortion is wrong, that abortion is a sin, that abortion stills a beating heart, I don't say this to condemn you. Jesus himself said in John 3:17 that he didn't come into the world to condemn us, but to save us from our sins. And so that's not my purpose here, is not to convict you or to instill any guilt, but simply to say, this was my process. And if it resonates with you, well, that's good. I hope, you know, I'm offering it in the spirit of help. And I'll tell you, in the aftermath, you know, Corey Peterson's story, if you were listening earlier, she said that she was blessed to go to post-abortion support within months after her abortion. And she said, you know, many of these women have been struggling for decades. Well, I was one of those women. The aftermath was 23 years of a private hell. And I don't say that lightly. It was full of sadness and guilt and despair and loneliness and fear and a mask that none of that was going on. And that I was just fine. And that nothing of the kind had ever happened to me. You know, I think about that phrase, the secret of your success. And it was a terrible thing to proceed in that job and to continue to advance in that career, knowing what it had cost me at the very beginning. So fearful that others would find out and reject me and judge me as having participated in having taken a life, which is the truth of what I did. Well, you know, that story is pretty typical. The Centers for Disease Control tell us that two-thirds of those who choose abortion are adults, not teens, young adults. The Guttmacher Institute, which is an abortion rights advocacy organization, says that over two-thirds identify as Christian. If you had asked me at the time of my abortion, I would have said, yes, I was a Christian. I had never known Jesus as Lord. I wasn't a follower of Christ, but I had been raised in a Christian home. And also, the Elliott Institute, after abortion.org, reports that two-thirds of relationships will end, whether the couple aborting is married or not. And so all of these things were typical. And, you know, because we were in a stable relationship, I will tell you that we had a birth control failure. Birth control is not an answer that prevents abortion. Two-thirds of those who choose abortion had a birth control failure. So what happens is that we are terrified, I think, in many cases, or in many other cases, we are coerced. And as you heard in Corey's story, you know, we give in to a domineering or a dominant partner who makes the decision and makes it happen. And I wonder, and I put this out to the group that I was speaking with this week, that what if someone had given me hope that my future could still look bright, that my faith, small and tiny, as the tiniest mustard seed that it was at the time, what if that faith could have carried me through? What if that relationship could have survived through mutual love and sacrifice? And what if it hadn't taken me 23 years to connect to God's mercy? Well, listen, the love of Jesus Christ is the answer. That is our hope. And if you have been working to try and convey that hope to others, keep your hand to the plow. You know, I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but it's a pretty recent insight for me that when Jesus said that we are to bear fruit, he also said in the Gospels that fruit is our actions, not necessarily the results. You know, if you've been toiling and you've never seen one person have hope dawn after abortion, I don't know what your ministry pursuits are, but maybe you're a sidewalk counselor and you've never persuaded anyone to stop walking into that abortion facility. Your fruit is the action that you took on Christ's behalf. That is your fruit, not the result. So be encouraged. God is not ignorant of what you are doing, and he's not unmindful of it. And he says our labor of love is not in vain. Your fruit is your action expressing the love of Christ to people. When I was able to connect with that, when I was able to access God's mercy, so many things changed for me. The mask came off. I no longer needed to be a person who was fronting some sort of image of success that was based on falsehoods and deceptions and lies. I found freedom to be able to share my stories with others. I found love in the form of Christian community from other people who understood and were able to effectively minister to me. I found new friends who loved me because of the ability to be authentic and share just how far Jesus had gone to bring me back to himself. One of those friends, by the way, is Rick Barron, who provided this instrumental bed of Jesus Loves Me as our theme music. Don't give him credit nearly often enough. Rick and I worked together on an EP of healing songs for post-abortion ministry. And next week we're going to share those with you, because as we did that at the PATH banquet this week, many people told me how meaningful that was to them to hear those lyrics and hear the beautiful musical accomplishments that Rick has put together as producer of our EP. So do try to join us next week for that. We'll be here. We're also going to be welcoming into the program our guest next week, Dr. Bill Lyle, the pro-life doc, who has a vision of using the visual methods of modern obstetrics to demonstrate the humanity of preborn life. I hope you can join us. I'm Kim Cotola, holding you in prayer until then. And remember, Jesus loves you, and so do we.